God, thank you for loving us no matter what. Help us to love others as you love. L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Good morning.
Great morning.
Fantastic morning.
After the last 2 days, right? What, Halloween? And today, this is the first time we were able to do a show.
Yeah, and morning. By... Yeah, yeah. So...
Good morning, everybody. Let's see how the night shift interacts. first of all, let me start with this. KeithandTheGirl.com. Go to Extra Shite. If you haven't already downloaded or you need to download the latest Keith and the Girl browser, the browser we've talked about before that has the store in it, the contest in it, everything Keith and the Girl related, now has a feature that whenever we do live shows, it'll if you have the browser open, it'll play automatically in one of your players.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you're into that business, it's another way to get the live show. Also, if you go to the forums, you can sign up so that you get email reminders. Because, of course, Monday through Thursday, we don't give much warning for the live shows.
Right. Under KeithandTheGirl.com, under live show, you can get all the information. I don't know why, after all this time, people keep emailing, you know, how do I listen live? And right. Even when I send out bulletins on MySpace, I say how to listen live. Just go to KeithandTheGirl.com and click on live show, and you'll get all the information.
Number 376, Pop Music Good, Monday show that Bobby Mitchell was on. If you I noticed this after the show. If you ever re-listen to it, he sounds a lot like Sam Kinison.
Oh, yeah.
It's very weird. And then afterwards, he's like, really? So he throws in an ah. And that's all he needed.
But
he sounds like Sam Kinison when Sam Kinison normally talks.
But then,
not now, of course.
It must have been the first time somebody told him that he sounded like it, and he's like, let me try this. And he had a spot on Sam Kinison Yell.
Right.
So, Bobby, you're welcome, and you owe us a dollar.
Yeah, it's such a unique voice, and we'll get to more about this point, but God only makes so many molds. It's like, you know, it's like, let's slap together the Kinison voice on this one. Nobody's going to remember.
That's why so many races look alike. God gave up a while
exactly,
ago.
Exactly, exactly. And Bobby Mitchell, what is it? TheBobbyMitchellShow.com. Also, did meet Kiss. You know, he's a big Kiss fan.
Oh, because he was going to go stand in line the next day, right?
Yeah.
Is this when he met him?
You stand in line that morning, and then you get a wristband, then you go that night. And Jess NYC was going to do that for his father.
For her father.
Right. So we hung out, you know, at Tristan's birthday party. Met some Keith and the Girl people. We missed some of you.
This is on Halloween night.
On Halloween night. But thanks for dropping down. Also, but anyway, my point is, we go, oh, how'd the Kiss thing go? And she's like, I woke up at 1 p.m., so there you go. When you're, you know, her dad, a huge Kiss fan, your daughter in New York City.
I was going to say, if he's that huge a Kiss fan, why didn't he stand in line? But I guess his daughter moved to NYU.
Yeah, that's your daughter's job now.
You're fucked up. You moved to NYU.
Your parents paid for it.
Yeah, you moved to New York because your parents paid for NYU, probably, or are helping you with the payments now, and you can't even wake up for them. That's cool.
Dear Keith and Linda, I am 19 years old from Canada, and I do not like the cock. My only point, folks, was if you're looking for relationship advice, say if you're straight or gay. I was listening to show 376, Pop Music Good, while I was shopping in the grocery store yesterday. I was walking down the pasta aisle when the Pop Music Good song started playing.
That song is brilliant.
Patrice has redone Pop Music Good. I laughed very loudly, and in doing so, ran my cart into the jarred sauces, breaking at least a dozen of them on the floor. This started a chain reaction in which the person behind me started laughing and made her baby sitting in the cart cry. After I was almost
done, that's so sad when your baby cries when you laugh. Mm-hmm.
After I was almost done recovering, the clerk guy showed up with a mop. The kitty litter song started playing. That's a Bobby Mitchell song. And on the other side of the aisle from the pasta sauce was cat litter. I let out another very loud laugh, which scared the other little girl who was with the woman. When she got scared, she turned around and ran towards her mom, who was pushing the cart towards me. Needless to say, I don't know if it makes me a terrible person to laugh at the little girl who just got mowed down by her mom's shopping cart, but I started to laugh so much it hurt. By the way, healthcare is free up here, unlike him, this friend said. In Canada, and it's a good thing because I think this little girl might have been bleeding. Keep on rocking, eh? Canada Chris.
Couple things. This is why camera phones were invented. Please take pictures of this kind of shit. And another thing is, you Canadians need to decide about your health care and what you're telling the rest of the world about it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And Just NYC says loans. Okay. Well, you know what? Fuck your parents. I'm sure they never did nothing. They just wanted a fucking Kiss album. I'm sure they never. What if
they didn't have to leave her with all those NYU loans. NYU is really expensive.
And my voice, not only because, you know, we got a quick nap in before we did the show right now, but my voice is also gone because of the Halloween job that we did on, when was Halloween? Tuesday. Tuesday late afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how I was going to be a ninja. The gayest ninja outfit. It was, describe it. You describe it.
It's not a ninja outfit.
No.
It's a black robe. You could have also been a judge. Mm. But the black robe was kind of cool because it had this mask that made you look faceless because the mask had black in the front, but you can still see out.
Kind of like a fencing mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But fabric.
Yeah. So the whole thing is like this thin whatever, and then he wore a black almost...
It's like a dress.
Legging things, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that robe, it was up to your ankles, and then you were...
What kind of ninja wears a dress? How is that practical?
Roundhouses.
I'm a ninja, but I think leg kicks are overrated.
What? They knew that they were paying you less than what you asked, and they knew that you weren't going to do roundhouses, like you threatened you weren't going to do.
We heard the show, Keith.
Yeah.
We put on the fucking dress.
And then both you and the other ninja were wearing white sneakers.
Right.
Great. Can't see you coming.
Another guy was, he had a ninja robe and he happened to be wearing black underneath. It looked like he had a ninja costume. I couldn't walk around saying I'm a fucking ninja, you know? So I decided I'm death. That's what I am.
Hey, it's Halloween, why not? Because what, you're...
Nobody knew what the fuck I was. I was black. I was black. What are you supposed to be? Black.
That's so racist because your job was to scare the shit out of kids.
And I did. I was in Connecticut and I scared the crap out of them. You're not supposed to be here. No, me.
What are you doing on the property?
Me and the other guy, the ninja, we were double teaming kids. You know, it gets dark, got dark pretty fast, and I'd be following them so that they turn around, get scared, and then he comes the other way and scares them. So it was fun to scare them. I don't know why I had to keep putting on this voice, but it's the funnest way to scare them. Like some girls just, you know, talking dumb into her cell phone, you know, as girls do. And, you know, and then Bobby did this, and then I was meeting Bobby, and then I go, then what did Bobby do? And like halfway through the sentence, like, and they're freaking. I'm like, all right, this is kind of fun. This is worth it. And then, of course, 3 hours later, I have no voice.
But the funniest thing is that you just did it, but you're trying to push the voice extra, and you made it a little queer. That's just, you know.
I'm just asking. Yeah. What did Bobby do? Death is gay.
Not only do we have black people on the premises, but queers also. This is the scariest Halloween ever.
But it's fun to make 14, 16, 17, 18-year-olds swear out loud, knowing their parents are around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit, fuck, motherfuck. And I'm like, perfect.
Yeah, I was trying to scare the kids also. I was a fortune teller with the scariest face in the world. I took a picture of myself because I looked in the mirror and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's Halloween. And then I took a picture and I'm like, this is so disgusting. Please don't memorize my face like to Keith. Like, just forget you saw me like this.
It's beyond disgusting.
I wanted to post it on the forums, but I'm like, no, there should not be any evidence of this ever. So
you're in the booth
I'm supposed to be a fortune teller, but because I said, am I a zombie fortune teller? They're like, that's a good idea. Good job. Good job, me. Now they're going to put tons of makeup on my face because they're makeup artists to do everybody makeup.
And they're
for
so
this.
Into I feel like they get shit done to them, but this time they're just painting other people. So they're like,
who,
okay,
the makeup artists?
Yeah. So now let me go nuts on you.
Yeah, they weren't.
Although they do go nuts on themselves, so never mind that point.
They weren't really doing makeup with mostly makeup. They were doing makeup with face paints that we normally use. So they painted my face into a zombie.
And they're painting, of course, that you're a zombie. They're painting like deep in the, you know, in the eye.
Yeah. So, and I'm such an idiot as I feel like sort of a liner come on my face, you know, like a just underneath my eye. I'm like, wow, this is going to take forever to take off. Now, why didn't I go, no, I don't need this extra liner under my eye. Just leave me alone. So I'm stuck in this booth the whole night. It's enough to like stand up, or like one chair can fit in, but then you can't stand in it. Anyway, so those 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, they come up to the booth. How much do you get paid to do that? Can you imagine being stuck in a thing? And then I'm like, and they're like, oh my god, yeah. Oh fuck, shit.
And it feels good. You're like, that's awesome. Good. Thank fuck you.
Yeah, but it makes me think about, I'm like, how much am I getting paid for this? Leave me alone. Fucking hell. Didn't I say I quit?
Right.
I'm stuck in this box.
I know what we get paid is what you get for your allowance.
Right, exactly. With these kids,
right.
You know?
And I can't wait till you fucking get beat up in the real world.
And then...
Physical and otherwise, you brat fuck.
Some of them are really brats. Because all of a sudden I get, you know, a lot of times I'm just scaring them. It's kind of fun, you know? But then all of a sudden they'll surround the box and you can't get out of the box except kind of crawling out.
Right.
So it's not really conducive to scaring them off in that way, you know? So now they're all surrounding my box. That sounded a little sexual. And just banging on it, like trying to break it.
Right.
And I have my cell phone in there with me, and I'm just like, maybe I should call someone because this is getting a little scary. Because it's like kind of how some kind of scary movies start.
Sure.
Like, you know, it's that mob mentality, and they're all banging. They're trying to smash this thing, and they're surrounding me, and I can't
and
do anything about it.
And you're in the area. Like, my job is just running in the dark. I feel like if I want to take a break, I'll just take a fucking nap in the grass where it's dark. Nobody's going to fucking know. I thought about leaving the party, walking around, coming back 3 hours.
Like, I thought about it, too, though.
See? So even though you're in an area that's lit up, and you have a sword swallower and this and that, it's still dark. It's still out of the way. Nobody's stopping these kids from banging on your thing.
No, and people
something
are passing
really could
by.
Happen.
Yeah.
These kids are such assholes that I fought them. I fought these kids. Like
physically.
You would have a 16-year-old. You know, I do the thing where I'm a statue, then I come out and I move my leg and you're freaked out. I don't gotta exhaust myself, right?
Get out of here. Is that how you started?
Yeah, so
that's funny.
So then
you were told to jump out of nowhere and scare the You decided to
be a statue and move a leg.
You decided to move a leg.
And they freak out. Who cares if the job's done?
Okay,
boss, the people that hired us, they tell me you didn't hear nothing but screams that whole time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You should have
heard my screams.
I did a good job.
I don't know. And I thought of you when I did this, because all I have to do is with my foot light up my fortune teller booth.
Right.
You know, when people come in and just, you know, look at my crystal ball and hand, you know, one of the cards that say some sort of fortune on it. The card thing didn't really work to slide it down, so I had to, like, turn off the light and then find the slidey thing and slide it. It was really awkward.
Hold on, please.
Exactly. Some people walked away before their thing was given.
You know, come around the booth. Here.
But the thing
you
is...
You can't get behind
exactly.
You.
Exactly. But I decided that, no, I have to take this to the next level because it didn't seem like I was working. So I started scaring kids. I started turning on the light and certain things. I'm like, and I know if Keith comes around, he's like, you don't have to do this.
Right,
you could just stand in a booth, go, ooh,
right.
And then give them the thing. Like, I still feel like somebody has to, you know, my boss has to hear that fortune teller thing was so scary. I have to.
Right. Did so they're banging on the thing. Did you ever have to tell them, get out of care and go stop?
Yes.
See,
yes.
Me and the ninja.
I mistakenly did the I'm going to kill you finger across the throat thing while a parent was around. I didn't mean
Sometimes
to.
Sometimes you have to.
I meant quit it. Like, you know, cut it out, like that kind of thing. And they're like, oh, shit. And they start screaming and whatever. But at some point, you know, people were coming behind me and opening the little door to my back, you know, while I'm
doing
things in my front.
And then what can you do? And it's so hard to get in there. You can't, you know?
It's a crawl space.
Right. And you wouldn't even be able to see behind you if somebody started poking at you.
Exactly.
You know, that's a little dangerous.
Yeah. So I got out of character and I was like, get out of here, like yelling, like, you know, you got to yell like extra aggressive because they're so aggressive that you have to scare them.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Like, as an adult, I will now kill you.
We talked about this, a stilt walker. That was at, this was when we did that Rosie O'Donnell gay cruise. And, you know, we were in line while walking through line giving out balloons while people were going up.
Boarding
the boat, right. And, stilt walker, you're so high up and that's so dangerous around any kind of punk kids. And
they can't step in water either.
Really?
They can slip on anything.
So the kids are acting or they're reaching for his leg and he reached out and he like bends down as much as he could. He's like, if you even come close to me, I will fucking kill you. It's like, oh, you have to say that.
You do.
You have to say that.
You're threatening my life. He actually did that at a bar mitzvah. He was telling us an old story. And this kid was really trying to make him fall.
Right.
Like he was pushing his stilt. How fucked up. Like, what a bunch of weirdos. Yeah.
Remember when you were a kid and you didn't even ask for extra food? If
from
they
an
were
adult.
Offering,
yeah.
What you're trying to make somebody? What gives these children the balls to be physical? Not even to be a smartass with their mouth,
right.
But to be physical to a stranger.
A smartass
to
with your
hit
mouth.
Me. To hit me at a party. Are you kidding? I would never do it. So they come by and they go, so, you know, this guy's going to come alive. You'll say, hey, you're going to come alive. And it hits me on the head. So I take his cap off. I smack his head, just like you're picturing, not exaggerating. Bam! Throw his hat like a frisbee. Grab his arm. Take him onto the side. Huge property where it's dark and nobody can see.
Oh, my God.
I let his hand go. He looks at me like, what are you going to do? And I just push him to the ground like a bully. And I go back and stand as a statue.
And the
they
rest
need
of-
to be taught. And then the rest of the guys, we should all, you know what? We're all going to fight you. And you know what I go? Really? Please? I could take all of you.
What I was going to say is the rest of the world thanks you. Because this kid, at some point from his parent, needed to be pushed down and said, stop it.
Right.
Just stop. Like, I would never get near an adult to touch them, but to smack you on the head, how did he even reach your head?
They jumped. They can jump, these ones. So, yeah, I mean, I picked one up, like, from the, you know, holding onto the shoulders to show you, and picking it up, like, to show you're strong.
Right.
And then I just dropped them.
Wow, you did some work.
You had to. These motherfuckers, they start hurting you. The other ninja did it, too, and I didn't know. It was so dark, you can't see
the next ninja.
You
oh,
can't
shit.
You, exactly. So, I mean, so he's telling
he doesn't
me this
know
later.
That your friend is leery.
I could kill these kids. Nobody would know. I'll take them. You know,
and you're wearing gloves.
They grab,
so that's perfect.
Right. They grab my arm. And then I just, you know, so I grab their arm. And I just start, I swing them around and throw them. You have to. Kid comes up to me. Says, I'll punch you, ninja. His dad's there. So obviously I can't do something while your dad's there. Okay?
Right.
Takes his head, headbutts me. I don't know if this is what the breadbasket is, but it's right above your groin. Like, God forbid he hit my dick and stuff.
That's where he headbutts you.
But right above the groin, and that's where he headbutts me. And you know what the dad... And so I just stand... Like, what am I going to do? You know, nothing. Like, your dad just saw that. So, you know, obviously he'll take care of it. Okay, Johnny, that's enough. Like, I recognize what you did was wrong. You had your Halloween fun. You headbutted a dude right above his cock and balls.
That's a father who thought it was going to be a fun idea to see someone who kind of looks like him, made of him. And then later on, he's like, I fucking had kids,
right.
didn't I? I had
right.
to have kids. I thought it was going to be so grand. Look at Johnny. He looks like me. Wow.
Okay, that's enough. You
that's
had your
enough.
Fun.
That's good.
You wanna, okay, yes, one step on his foot. But then we go.
Right. Can I have another piece of candy? Can I punch this guy in the face? It's the same thing.
I'll fight you. Let's do it. yeah, Anthony asked a little bit ago, was there glitter in the face paint? They're doing henda. They take glitter, touch it to her eye, touch it below her eye. Henda jumps back and goes, oh, God, no. What is that? What is that? It's what you work with every fucking day.
I totally freaked out.
As you should.
Why do I need to be a zombie with glitter?
Right.
A zombie with glitter. I didn't see it coming. She put it under my eye. Where in the books of doing makeup does the zombie have glitter?
Right, right. So it's they didn't even want to say the word glitter, like they knew glitter was wrong. It's super fine, sparkly fun.
I was like, no.
So dumb. And then they look at her like she's crazy.
You guys are the
fucking weirdos.
I scarred her, though. Like, the next person that sat down for her to do the makeup, she was like, is there something weird you need to tell me? Glitter allergies or something? And I was like, no, you don't understand. You can't just randomly put glitter on people's face.
Then you got the dumb Paris Hilton lookalike who wants glitter. Can you put the glitter on my face?
Yeah, right before
quick?
She leaves.
You don't even
like,
need it.
You look like Paris Hilton.
You look like Paris Hilton. We have the Paris Hilton lookalike at this party. You'll recognize her if you saw that Dopey Show, The Surreal Life. You happen to see part of this one, right? What happens?
I don't know. It's like
that show is so obviously scripted. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you were watching this episode with me. We saw like...
I doesn't register.
We saw like 5 minutes of it or
something. Nothing
about
Paris's voice registers. When her boyfriend's like, but I told you about the party. Like, your voice. Doesn't register my brain. Suck balls. That fake commercial voice on the radio enters my brain more than your dumb whatever the fuck you're saying. So go ahead.
Well, in this episode, Paris Hilton decides she doesn't want to do the work anymore. But what's her partner's name that they're not talking anymore?
Nicole Richie.
But Nicole Richie's like, wow, if Paris Hilton doesn't do it, I don't get, you know, to do it. So I'm going to hire a Paris Hilton lookalike. And it was this Paris Hilton lookalike that was at the party. So anyway, so at this episode, they have this Paris Hilton looking like. She talks exactly like her. She looks like her. She's bone skinny. And then, you know, Paris finds out about this. Oh. So she comes in and was like, what do you think you're doing, Nicole Richie? And they're at people's houses. And the old...
Obviously, it's scripted, but doesn't this admit that Nicole Richie is nuts? Hey, you know what? I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
So I found somebody that looks, talks, and acts just like you.
And she does.
And she does. And she's at the party.
This lookalike.
And people ask her, like, and your voice, that's dead on. Like, is that your real voice? She like, doesn't know what she's talking about. She's like, I don't know what you mean, but this is my real voice.
She
however
talks
this.
Like, you know, I right. don't know, Colin. Do you know what I mean? Can I have some glitter?
She's as dumb as the real Paris Hilton looks
as void
and talks
in the
just
eyes.
Like it.
Yeah, and she's not an actress. She's not like that great of an
right,
actress.
Right.
She came in the door and I was like, are you the Paris Hilton lookalike? Right. Because she was just like, yeah.
Are you the one that asked, was she in Surreal Life?
Yeah, and she
I
was.
Wanted to ask, are you the one that was in Playboy? Some Paris Hilton lookalike was in Playboy. On the cover of Playboy, it says, Paris Hilton lookalike gets naked. But I couldn't picture, like, this bone thing, you know, getting naked in a magazine. You know, I'm like, you're only hot because you look like somebody that's famous.
Yeah.
That's only hot because she has some kind of prima donna attitude.
Because she says that's hot.
Right, right.
That's hot.
It's like, how did you get famous at all? I don't get it.
And we even said, we said, aren't you going to say, not us, but people are right. telling her, are you going to say that's hot? Didn't she copyright that phrase, or what did she do to it? Like every
what did
time
Paris Hilton do? Yeah,
every time right. every time somebody says that's hot, apparently Paris gets money because she needs more money. And the fake Paris Hilton was like, actually, she didn't make that up because everyone
right.
in LA was saying that already. She just decided to take it for herself.
She
I know the history
about it.
Of
yeah.
Paris Hilton, so because I have to act like her.
Can you give me some glitter? Can I have it? I don't know why this bitch
I'll
doesn't like it.
I'll take glitter.
I'll take the glitter you're going to give me and the extra glitter that you put on the side for her.
And it's so weird because I don't understand fashion. Who the hell does?
Right.
Because the Paris Hilton looking like was wearing what to me looked like a nightgown I used to wear as a kid.
Right.
But
it looked like some kind of tie-dye nightgown with, what, a clown face in the center of it.
I didn't see the clown face.
Yes.
Holy shit. Some weird colors, I don't know. But that is, you know, it's off the shoulder. And this is what's hot.
Lucky Chen is the restaurant, what do you call it? Cross-dressing restaurant in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That we went to some time ago. I think the show was called Glitter Tits.
Yeah, Glitter Tits.
And we went there for that dude's birthday, Mr. X.
Right.
That's really what he goes by. And one of the workers there, I didn't recognize him. But,
a Lucky Chang worker.
Right. Lucky Chang. Okay. Was there. What?
Was at the party.
Was at the party. I'm sounding all confused because I'm trying to.
I'm trying to understand this queer business.
What are they fuck each. They're two guys, right? So anyway.
You're really trying to understand.
He's in charge of like some of the girls there. Like our company went through him to get the Paris Hilton lookalike or some other girls or
and
something.
And some dancers.
So I'd take a break from beating up on the kids and go inside and you would hear him say things like, you know, my girls don't even want a break actually because, you know, it's actually cold in here. My girls that. It's like he's trying to brag about some kind of, like he brought girls to this party. or he brought workers. What is that's, it's some art thing a lot of people do. Like, who gives a fuck if you brought a dancer?
It's taking credit oddly. It's almost like dropping names, except there are no names involved. Right. Like, look, I'm in charge of these five girls that I brought. Are you their pimp?
They want you to know that you're the boss of something. Yeah. Like being a waiter, all these people had to let me know they're the boss of something. Even if it's just the boss of me. But everybody, come on. You just want to say, fucking calm down. You're all clowns in different costumes. We're all the same.
All of these, and just a different form of kids' party clown outfit.
And maybe the gay community can answer this. Oh, what is that sense of humor? It's a type of sense of humor that's in that room of all these gay actors. Maybe it's not just gays in general. It's the gay actors. It's the gay artists.
What is it?
It's stiff and flamboyant at the same time.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you even talking about? I know I caught the beginning of the story, so it's not like I missed something. I remember how I was saying I was going to see Liza Minnelli? I saw her last night, and at the Q&A, people asked her, so you're going to school now, did I hear? For what? And you know what she does? She takes her hands, shakes them like jazz hands, and she goes, yeah, baby, I'm going to jazz school. Classic. And I just wanted to fucking choke. I'm like, what?
I don't get it.
I don't fucking
It's because
she
that woman
still has it.
That woman can do anything, and the gay community would love it.
Oh my gosh, she said
the
she
whole acting
jazz school because she wouldn't have to do that because she's the great Liza Minnelli.
And why, when I don't know you, every other word is, oh, I love ya.
Exactly,
I love ya.
Or this, everything's like, you know what, I probably should put more face paint on myself for this party, but I'm not going to. I'm so bad. I'm so bad. But you know what? You know what? Nudge, nudge. And they're physically nudging you. We all have a little bit of bad in us, don't we? What? Does that mean you think I'm bi? What does that even mean? You know what?
I just wanted to nudge you.
Today was a crazy day. Nudge, nudge. But sometimes we're all a little crazy. What are you talking about? I won't fuck you. What does that mean? Oh, goodness. Sometimes we all have a little Paris Hilton in us.
They just say things to hear the sound of their own voices.
Right.
Because think their voices has a sort of sing-song to it. You know what I mean? Because I took dictation.
And I'm not like performing for them or something, but if I take a break or something and everything I say in a room full of gay artists, they just stare at me. And I can't remember an example. They just stare at me.
We're the weirdos.
We're the weirdos.
Yeah. Because we don't have some sort of reference to dancing, some sort of reference to Liza Minnelli, some sort of reference to, I pulled costumes for this, that, or the next.
Right.
Do you have anything else to talk about? Can you just talk about something?
Right. I'm out there, and these kids are just beating the fuck out of me. I said something like, I'm going to go out, time to go out there, back out there and fight with kids. I mean, play with kids. And they just stare. They just stare. Like, and then I go, jazz hands! And I'm back in the game, and I leave. I leave on the high note. Callium, this is a little long, so I don't know if it's good or not. Halloween night, I gave out treats to kids for about 2 hours before I had to go to work. We had empty pumpkin-shaped buckets sitting outside just as decoration, among other things. And an Israeli kid came up and took my bucket and started to run. I got up and chased after the kid down about three street blocks, took his bag of candy, shoved him on the ground, took my bucket and went back home. That's what we're adults, and we're just like bullies to kids. We're like, I will take this bucket, push to the ground. Good day.
That's what you should do.
Oh, and took his candy. Took his bag of candy, shoved it to the ground, took my bucket and went home. The little fuck was only like 12 years old. Goddamn Israelis. Goddamn children.
No, the 12-year-olds are the ones that you're supposed to push. As an adult, that's
old
not
enough,
their parent.
Right.
You should push them to the ground because nobody is telling them that you can't do this.
Somebody egged our house, you know, through a egg, you know, maybe one or two.
When?
My dad.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. Back home.
As a kid.
Back home as a kid. My dad ran out and chased him down. Yeah, I don't know.
Your dad
quarter
did.
Of a mile. And he didn't get him. But if you were like, oh, God, get him. Then you start, like, it's like, yeah, get him. Because, you know, that's part of the game, too. It's Halloween. But if you get fucking caught. But at the same time, you kind of feel bad for the kid. I'm like, he's going to fuck you up.
That's amazing that you thought your father was going to fuck up
yes,
some kid.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, that's the only time your eyes were bright when telling a story about your dad.
I'm proud of my dad
Jeez.
For that.
You are proud of your dad when it comes
else.
To fighting.
Right. Yeah.
You are, because that was it's the one thing that you take till the rest of your life. He gave you advice.
He said if somebody ever tries to TP your house, you destroy them, their family, and anyone they have
come
contact
back and
with.
Destroy
right.
you.
In the future, when they have the internet, you go through his friends list, you ruin those lives. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. You'll see, son.
Your dad is really smart.
You'll see. They're Keith and Hamda. A few days ago, I was visiting a friend's dorm room after class. I walked in the room and sat down on a roommate's stepping stool that was nearby, says Frosty. Due to the high-rise beds, the shorter girls actually have a stool to be able to climb up onto them. After a few minutes of regular conversation passed, her roommate walked in. I stood up and pushed it back to her, only to be repaid with these chilling words, "Oh, you might have some glitter on you." You might have gotten the hibs from that stool. I looked closer and realized that the preppy cheerleader stool was sprinkled with glitter for some reason. I frantically tried to get a good look at my ass by looking over my back, only to realize that it was covered in glitter. I started trying to swipe it off, only to have the glitter get on my hands and still remain on my ass. Oh, don't be touching it, man. After cursing to myself, I left and drove home.
Yeah, trying to dust it off just dusts it on everything else.
After cursing to myself, I... Can you stop kicking this?
Sorry.
Thanks. You're kicking it into me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I started trying to swipe it off, only to have the glitter get on my hands and still remain on my ass. After cursing to myself, I left and drove home to throw my good jeans in the wash. After they were washed and dried, I noticed that there were still some glitter sprinkles, not only still on the back, but
he
also...
He should have taken off his pants.
Right. Also, that had moved to the legs of the jeans. It took me a few hand washings to get it all off my skin. I would have burned them. But there is one more problem. Now my driver's seats have specks of glitter on it, and I still can't get them out, even after using a hand vacuum. Fuck me. AIDS makes sense. The movie The Stand, that can happen. This is how glitter started with one person, and it just, you know, and then like he shook hands with somebody else. The next thing you know, it's all over the place, and they sell it.
That's how AIDS started, babe?
I'm not a doctor, but... but yeah, you just if it ever happens to anybody else, you destroy your pants.
Wait a minute, you're not a doctor?
I'm not a doctor.
Oh shit!
But that's not the point. The point is about
you're meeting my mom on Tuesday. Can you just say you're a doctor?
Yeah. What's going on?
We're having a lunch before she leaves to Israel.
So I am meeting your mom.
Yes, officially. She's like, don't tell him to wear a suit or anything, okay?
Really?
Yeah, because she's gonna be all casual and.
I was gonna wear the ninja outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going to be weird?
This way she'll think you're a doctor. By the way, she totally knows what we do now.
How so?
Well, she saw the keychain because I gave it to someone today. And she's like, that's so cool. And I'm like, yeah. And we sell that for $5. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, we sell things. And she's like, get out, show me. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll show you something. And she's like, you have a phone that could show me now. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right. I can't, like, wait until you forget about this. So I actually showed her the store on my phone. By the way, it came out really nice on the phone.
Okay.
It took a couple minutes. But I was like, here's all the stuff. And I was afraid that she'd ask for a shirt. Like... okay, she could know about it, but I don't want her walking around with a Keith and the Girl shirt, like, not
so
knowing
she,
what that means.
Your mom understands it's a radio show.
Well, you know, she asked
we
me...
We have a store for the ha-has.
She asked me later on, and I actually did tell her, you know, we do a show. I told her that we talked about, you know, the Andy Rooney segment the other day. Like, we basically talk about general life. And we do it 5 times a day. She's like, you guys must be... My parents... It's hard not to tell them because they've been increasingly, like, more proud of me. She was, like, amazed at the store. She was amazed that, like, I'm doing business and I'm doing something. She was amazed that I'm depositing any kind of checks into my bank account, you know? Right. So she's worried about me less, and I figure now is a good time to tell her. So that's pretty cool.
So she does understand.
That we do shows. I'm like, you know, I think she understands. No, she knows that we do shows now. The thing is I think she, she must have understood that it's something she doesn't want to hear so much. I'm like, you know, there's cursing, and she's like, I know. Like, there's she's like, I figured there's something, like, not something, but right. she figured it's not going to be, like, the cleanest thing in the world. But there it is. I think she knows, I think.
Did Keith ever write the note saying he would take care of our lovely Hamda?
No,
I'm going to see him. There's no reason to.
Still, though, I actually think they're feeling less...
L'chabchuchu.
Right.
Chetan Chemda. I'm a photographer for a local NBC affiliate in Washington State, a few hours from Seattle. Where are we gonna eat, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know why. Why is that important?
I'd like it to be American.
I knew that was coming.
It wasn't until I started listening to your shows that I started noticing...
Oh, by the way, you know, I'm going to ask you to do that pass the credit card thing. She's like, oh, and you know, don't let him pay for it and whatever. She's like, I'll pay and whatever. I'm like,
oh, that's nice.
Not happening.
Good.
No, so you have to do that thing where you pretend to go to the bathroom and give the... the waiter,
Hold this for me? Yeah. Why? I can't hold everybody's fucking credit card.
Did you used to hate that, really?
Yeah, because then I got to remember, or right. You don't know if you gave it to me, or they're like, I know I gave it to you. I'm like, you fucking didn't. I mean, think how many people are like, I think I paid. You know, we have rules. You eat, then you pay, then you leave. And for me, we repeat it. We repeat it often. All right? That's a system that we design.
Oh, you are so having waiter flashbacks.
But you give your card ahead of time, and then you don't remember if you did or not, and you think you did, and you never did, and you're like, I'm sure I did. You're just a fucking waiter. You never went to school. You never did nothing with your life.
I didn't think of this.
Obviously, I'm smarter than you. And think about the people, period, that come in and go, you know, I'll take the meatloaf smothered in asshole sauce. And you're like, we don't have that. We never did. You just made that fucking up. And they're like, no, I was here yesterday and had it. And I'm like, I fucking work here. I don't have it. Well, you did. I don't have it. Well, talk to the chef. He knows. Nobody knows you, A. And B, okay. And then I come back. Nope, they still don't. I don't know who you're talking to, but, you know, I was here. I'm like, we don't have it. I was here at 12 midnight. We close at 11. No, you don't.
I think it's your fault. Every other fucking diner has the asshole meatloaf. Yeah.
So we don't have it. So I know you do. And then they always got to add in the little extra thing. Like, you know what? Fine. You don't have it. I'll take the chicken. Okay. But I know you had it. Shut your fucking face! How was it? Well, it wasn't the meatloaf that I made up. That I fucking invented in my head. Do you have the neighborhood discount? What the fuck are you making up?
Well, Rachel tells people that there are things that are not on the menu. Rachel Ray goes, you know, sometimes you might not see this on the menu, but they might have a brunch special.
Sometimes
when you saw that, you so cringe,
bitch. So you might not see this done right in front of you, but I piss in your shit.
Baby, it's okay. You're not a waiter anymore. It's okay.
Fucking assholes.
Keith,
I need the neighborhood. Do you have the neighborhood discount? I know. I get it all the time. Then you know. What is it? Yeah, I'm going to need three forms of ID if you have a credit card. And then I'm going to need a urine asshole certificate. Go fuck yourself.
You turn into a waiter every time something goes wrong in a restaurant.
But I'll give my credit card ahead of time.
Right, yeah, that's good.
That's how classy people do it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I know you have rules to keep things, you know, systematic. Well, here's my credit card. Because I'm more important than everybody in this whole fucking restaurant.
Do you feel bad doing it?
No. No. It's stupid, though. I can understand paying first, but to pretend to pay, your mom knows I'm gonna pay.
So then you could wait for the check, and we'll insist on it, and it's fine.
Nah, I'll give it. Who cares? I was just trying to fill time. Kaitananda, I'm a photographer for a local NBC affiliate in Washington State. It wasn't until I started listening to your shows that I started notice. This is Dust TD. It wasn't until I started listening to your shows that I started noticing that some of the stories I cover have clowns involved. Last week, I filmed one standing outside of a wireless internet provider having a party of some sort, giving out hot dogs and soda. This seemed like it would be really shitty since you couldn't even see it from the street. Nobody was showing up, so they just stood there. Today, I covered an anniversary of local boys and girls clubs here, and there was a clown again. This seemed like a perfect gig for your average clown, as all the kids were the right age, 4 to 10, and there were very few parents around. The point of all this stupid rambling is this. Since I listened to your show, I now have the urge to go up to these clowns and say hey, offer them some water, or just be nice to make their afternoon a bit easier, but I don't know which ones are sarcastic bastards like Keith, which I would get along with, and which ones play it really serious and would only talk to me in clown speak. Is there any way to tell? Peace, whales, and hippie butt love, Dustin. P.S. I'm trying to get an angle to suggest to put you guys on our local TV station out here, but I haven't come up with one that would be worthy of our hard-ass news director. Well, very good. Thank you very much. As for what clowns, you got to assume, like old groups. of people, they're all assholes. Mm. You got to assume they're clowns. Do you know what I mean? You don't go up to a black guy and go, I'm guessing he can take my nigger joke. You assume they're fucking douchey, lame jazz heads. No, sorry.
You do the jazz heads really well.
Yeah, offer them, you know, offer them water, offer them food. We've always said this. If you're at a party, you know, you're a part of the party, bring food over to the clown. Don't ask him. He may not be allowed to have food. And then it's up to him if he eats it or not. It's a big difference him getting the food. You know, him or her. It's a new world. Girls are clowns on too. You know, just bring the food to him.
Bring general food, not, you know, the weirdest thing that they're offering over there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the hamburger. Don't bring... Is that what you mean?
Yeah, bring the baba ganoush.
Right. Dear Keith and Kenda, I'm a teacher at an alternative school. Does that mean gay? And some of our students went up to a local elementary school to volunteer for the school party. One girl was there to paint faces for Halloween. When she came back, I asked her how it went, and she said weird. I asked her why, and she said she'd painted 3 or 4 dozen faces, and over half of them asked for a block of cheese. She said,
I haven't gotten that.
She said that she was now extremely good at painting yellow rectangles.
Thank God.
Right, thought you'd appreciate that, Des. What does Des mean? They put it in front of Moines. Children, girls.
Girls especially?
Yeah, love just copying off of each other. And what happened was a girl said, I'll be a block of cheese. And they all said, yeah, we'll all be cheese. I've done polka dot. Like, you'll see me spend, you know, time on a Batman and a Spider-Man or, you know, butterfly, flowers, things for girls. And then one comes up and goes, I want red and yellow polka dots. And I'm like, okay. And then the whole group of girls like, yeah, we'll be the yellow, red, and polka dot girls. Like, that's good. And your parents see this and they're putting money aside for college.
And they already made a handshake and everything for their polka dot team.
We're the blocks of cheese girls. Oh, look at that. I have one of those dummies as my daughter. A box of cheese. We took you to a party so you could be cheese. Can we go to the party, Dad? Here's fucking cheese. I don't feel like going out. Wiggle Greg Page. You know, I've been a wiggle. Do the monkey. Do the elephant. Fall down and go to sleep. Wake up, Jeff.
Sounds great, man.
Wiggle Greg Page has been struck down with a mystery illness that threatens his future with the children's music supergroup. How he had one of these four, I don't know, happened to get that job. You know? And they're probably, are they all millionaires, do you think? These Wiggles? Probably, right?
I don't know. You think so?
I don't know. When so much money is involved, they make... The Wiggles are Australia's highest earning entertainers. Here it says they rank in over $50 million last year.
Wow.
You get a cut of that. You know, it's like hearing stars, and you're like, why would you get $12 million for a movie? Because they make so much money. Spread it out. You know, no, a sports person shouldn't be paid more than a teacher. But, a teacher isn't helping bring in $6 billion to the school.
They are eventually after that person becomes
right.
Whatever the
right.
Who.
Well, people are assholes and they don't give back. Anyway, but my point is, like, you happen. I would be if I was a wiggle, and anybody could fill in my place.
Yeah, the Wiggles just basically wear a shirt.
I would sneeze and they'd be like, "God bless you," and I'd be like, "That wasn't me. I'm perfectly fine, perfectly healthy."
And by the way, this shirt is a very special size that only I can wear.
Right. Wiggle Greg Page has been struck with a mystery illness. While the Wiggles are on tour in the U.S. with the replacement member Sam Morin, 34-year-old Page is battling the unknown condition, which includes regular bouts of fainting.
Wow. Oh, wait, so he should be Jeff.
Yeah, when they go...
Because Jeff always falls asleep randomly
on
the show.
I bet that's what happened. They're like, okay, we're going to turn this around. You act like it's deliberate.
Right.
We'll wake you up from your fainting spell. Hey, what's up? You're on Keith and the Girl. B to the J to the sun. When contacting to his Sydney home yesterday, Page said he was not really well enough to talk. But in a statement released to fans, the group's lead singer explained his absence from the current U.S. tour, saying doctors were yet to diagnose the health problem behind the fainting. I've had numerous bouts of this over the past 8 months, but they are getting more frequent and more concerning. So I've decided that I must go home, rest, and seek further medical advice to assure myself that I will be okay for future tours. The group's manager denies that it's cancer. He said it's absolutely not the case.
And also denies that he might be in future tours.
You saw a show today with your mother.
Mamma Mia.
How was it? You finally saw Mamma Mia? You can laugh. You can dance. Having the time of your life. Did you? Did you guys have the time
Amazing.
Of your life?
Amazing.
It's what? Songs from ABBA, right?
Yeah.
And it, but Turned it's a real play. Is there a real story?
There is a real
Listen
story.
Listen to your fucking voice.
It's so stupid. Do you remember that play that they... Jesse's playing violin in this play, right? For the
Obviously,
play.
Obviously, for a different play.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Not Mamma Mia. For a play. And so I want to see what he's doing. So I went to this, like, the town near where he grew up, which is, like, right above Westchester. It's this little community and a little community theater. And I liked that play. It was a musical. I hate musicals, but this was good. I actually felt the acting. Right. I felt the whatever.
I hate musicals too, but you know what? When I first came to New York, I did Everything Gay, and I saw Grease, and I liked it.
Really?
Like, yeah, that's okay. My musical could be gay. I like the movie Grease. I don't give a fuck.
Anyway,
judge fuckers, judge.
the show that he was doing, Spitfire Grill, was better. It was in a 99 seat theater. Was better than Mamma Mia by far. This is $120 for a seat.
Wow.
$120, so you figure, like, shit's gonna happen. Right. People hardly danced. They sang every fucking minute. All the guys sang off-key.
Really? Terrible singing.
The guys, I think people started laughing, and if they didn't start laughing... And that's another thing. People are idiots, and they were laughing at everything. They made a fat joke. They laughed. Like, I was like, and here comes the fat joke, and laugh. And wow. So to me, it was like it seems like a camp play, except they got more rehearsal so they could look more anal.
Right.
But it's a camp play that you would do. It's so ridiculous. The choreography was so simple. The just the best part of it was the curtain call. I swear to God.
Did your mom like it? Is your mom seeing you rolling your eyes and she can't enjoy it? You texted, I hate musicals. Picture going with somebody too. You're like, you're having your mom and daughter moment and you break out your trio. I fucking hate musicals.
Yeah.
Wait, what show is this?
Mamma Mia.
Oh, God.
This is B. Jason. You did the guy that did Eight Raiders.
Oh, my.
How you doing, buddy?
It's like. Typical, you have to go see Mamma Mia when you're in New York. Right?
That's the thing. My mom's friends and everyone she encounters is like, Mom, you have to. You have to go see Mom. What, you know why? Because they got taken and they want everybody else to get taken. It's the most ridiculous thing.
That's what it is. They want to get taken. Right. They want to spread out. You know what? You're getting fucking glittered today because I had to be glittered.
Right. So she goes, what was it? So I'm afraid to ruin the time for my mom, like you were saying. She's like, do you like it? I'm like, And then I warned her. I was like, you know, people only like this because they know the music.
Right.
So they could sing along. It's like, what?
Is everybody singing?
At certain points, yeah. And then they, as soon as they hear like three notes in the song, they know what's coming. So they're like,
They take the greatest hits of ABBA and they basically try to figure out a way to crowbar it into a plot.
Yeah. It's the worst.
What was it?
It's really contrived.
This girl wants to get married and...
Of course.
And she never knew who her father was. And then she finds out it could be one of these three people, so she invites them.
It's a little
them.
Controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
So they invites him over and has to fuck all three, right? And figure out which one with their mama fucked.
Her mom fucked all of them.
Okay.
And then she goes to and at the wedding, the daughter goes, you know what? Because she's learning less. Mm-hmm. I don't even care if you had sex with 100 people. I learned a lot about, and she actually says, I learned a lot about you these past couple of days. And the mother goes to the priest, I really didn't have sex with 100 people. Everyone cracks up.
Oh.
The roaring laughter from the crowd. There's a fat chick in the play. And at some point she comes out in like one of those ABBA suits, like, you know, tight, whatever.
Right.
Everyone starts cracking up.
That's not a joke.
Yeah. No, it was a joke. They kept doing fat jokes at this girl. Oh. Like, well, yeah. Yeah. How do they explain her part to her?
Like, right.
Every
right.
joke that you're going to have is a fat joke
right.
or a sexual innuendo.
Hey, Ma, I'm in Mamma Mia.
Right.
It was fantastic.
It was phenomenal.
I'm in Mamma Mia.
By the end of it, my mom's like, people are fucking wrong.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and she whispers a little too loud in Hebrew, but I'm like, okay, right. shh. She's like, I don't get it. All right, okay.
What's going on, Jason?
Not much, guys. It looks like I won't be able to meet up with you guys in Boston.
Aww.
I know, fucking sucks, right?
Thanks for RSVPing, though. We want everybody to call in and let us know if they're coming or not coming.
You know what? Fucking canceled.
Should make him wear name tags.
He's talking about the Boston show at the Cantab Lounge in Boston, Cambridge. Cantab Lounge, C-A-N-T-A-B dot lounge.com. We're going to be there.
Slash lounge, sorry.
We're going to be there November 11th. Doors open at 8. The show starts at 9. And Merit, GoMeritGo.com is coming on after us. They're a very cool band.
Do you live in Boston?
About 45 minutes north in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Is there a really cool reason why you're not coming?
I crossed the bear as a postal worker.
Hmm?
It's basically Veterans Day weekend, and Saturday is a pretty heavy day, and I'm a flex employee, so I basically work at their whim, and Saturday we're working, and if I put in for it not realizing it was Veterans Day week.
Okay.
And I got denied for it.
That was our fault. Okay, that was our fault. But yeah, we got to get you out sometime to play some live music. That's all.
All right,
take care, buddy.
See ya.
Peace. They're Keith and Tim, though. This is a bit deep, so please bear with me. Right there.
Ew.
Right there, you're a fucking customer at my restaurant, aren't you?
You might not be able to get
this, You won't be able to understand. What do you do for a living? Just a waiter. Just this? You're an actor. Something, right? Tell me something. No, this is what I do.
Oh my God! People should have asked you that while you were jumping out of the bushes to scare their kids. They should have been like, "This is a fun job, right? Summertime, summer job, weekend job. What do you really do?"
This is a bit deep. I'll see if your feeble brain can begin to comprehend it. You know how your family thinks Tech 007 writes this, also known as Andrew. You know how your family thinks your house has good luck for bringing people success? All the relatives who lived there went on to have much success. And you know how you hate the condo corp and you have shitty power and somebody got killed in the neighborhood and the walls are falling apart, etc., etc.?
Well, he really pays attention.
Maybe you've thought of this already, but I'd like to point out that all of these relatives moved out.
Oh, clever.
I know there's a million reasons not to move, but I could think of quite a few good ones why you should look for some place.
I think a million beats out quite a few.
Right. Or, right, to either live or work. Why not get a new studio location so that home is just home? Why not?
Oh, I knew there was a reason why I was mad. Yeah.
Why not? And why don't we just, I would like be Jason to be able to play some songs in Boston. Why don't we pay off his boss?
Yeah.
Fly him down.
Yes. Yeah. I wish we had the business sense for all this.
Business that start at home could always be prepared to move up and out. Otherwise, the business could get stifled.
Mm.
Or home life can be polluted with bad work karma. Hey, you know, I think on our show... No, wait, baby. Let's drive back to the studio. Then we'll talk about work. Don't bring it home. Don't you bring those mics into our house.
As a matter of fact, we should really stop talking about our home lives and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Or work meetings. Right. Our home lives pollute our jobs. Yeah. or work meetings may have butt plugs appear at the wrong time. Expenses can be written off, etc. Okay, that's all I need to know, by the way. The one thing that I might be interested in.
Expenses could be written off
anyway, et cetera, and all that.
Right.
Would extremely beneficial for financial reasons, blah, blah. That's the only important part of your letter. And, oh, yeah, just think of all the fun you can have with sugar before you leave.
We own the house.
We own the house. You just said to keep the house and start another office. So anyway, we're going to try to find a new office building this week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
KeithLandGirl.com/donate. I'm sure just add a little something there, Andrew, and we should be on our way. Hey, guys, think about it.
Hey, you know how, like, your situation sucks? How's this? Get out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Dear Keith and Kevin, you know how you don't like work?
Just stop.
Stop doing it. Do something you love. Listen to this, people. Keith and the Girl advice.
Follow your hearts.
Follow your hearts. Follow your hearts. Dear Keith and the Girl, I was listening to your show. I decided to follow my hearts. This is Dirty D from the chat. I'm a straight male, 26 years old. In regards to Keith being kissed in the back and receiving a mop massage from by a priest, it was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
This is how rumors get started. I have a story of my own to share. I was in junior year of college and was taking a course called Environmental Systems, some stupid shit. The teacher had this rep of being a real asshole. Let's call him Leonard Bachman. He's the type of teacher that would add trick questions to tests and seem to get a real thrill out of people failing. Excuse me. My friend Mike and I were studying for a test and ran across a problem we couldn't figure out, so we headed to his office to ask him a question. He opens the door and tries to act cool, you know, Shooter McGavin style. He would wear the Hawaiian shirts on Fridays to show he was hip. We walk over to his desk, I place the problem down, and start explaining our question. Mike is standing behind us as the teacher reaches his arm around me and puts his arm around me and on my shoulder. This kind of freaks me out, but it wasn't too bad, so I just kept explaining. Then to my surprise, I feel his arm come off my shoulder. I think, thank God this awkward shit is over. But I feel it come off my shoulder, slide down my arm and side, and come to rest on my hip. Yeah. Holy shit, this asshole has his hand on around my waist. I don't know what to do, so I froze. He finished the explanation and Mike and I bolted. The second he closed the door, I look over at Mike and he starts laughing hysterically at me. To this day, 7 years later, I can't run into any of my college friends without being reminded of the time I got felled up by the professor. P.S. I ended up with a B in a class where over 65% of people failed. I guess my ass is nice. I don't know.
What don't you know?
I had a science teacher that whenever he would talk to you, he'd put his hand around you and on you.
Okay.
It's in front of the whole class that he's doing this.
Right.
Well, how can he really be hitting on me? He's in here with Dirty D, touching his hip, but his friend's right there. Is he like, I bet I can get two for one? You separate the children. Fred, we all know that.
You know what, though? It is true.
It's the waste, but
no,
people don't know space. No, they don't know personal space.
They don't. I always stand next to people and just like kind of hug them a little bit.
Yeah.
Just so we can, you know, really understand each other. I squeeze
them.
I think I see what you're doing.
Again. Okay, I see what you're doing though.
It's not creepy at all. People's personal space are not really theirs.
Or maybe the teacher was gay, and gay people do like to touch too much because they're all girls.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm being dead serious. It's like they're overly friendly. They don't realize what space is. No?
No.
So was my science teacher hitting on me?
What did your science teacher do?
He jerked me off.
No, well, that's no. I mean,
right?
You know, at a certain
point.
Retention
release.
Right. At a certain point in a kid's life, you know, he heard about your upbringing.
Right.
He understood that you weren't masturbating yourself. He did you a favor. That's different. Putting an arm around the waist in public view.
I think people are very touchy-feely.
Around the waist. Have you ever put your arm around anybody's waist by accident? Like, oh, shit, how
of
did
course
I do
not.
That? I put a hand on my shoulder.
I also never gave my credit card ahead of time. Go back and ask them, just so you know.
And tape it.
And tape it for us. Dear Keith, I'm taking a course studying American people and their behavior. Just fucking quit.
What's he studying?
University of Alabama. I'm taking a course studying American people and their behavior.
Hmm.
Listen to the show. Save 30 grand. And today we were talking about early television, and your friend Milton Berle came up. Suddenly my ears perked up, and I was paying attention as I saw a huge picture of Milton Berle in full women clothing on the overhead screen. Thinking of everything I knew about Milton Berle, everything I know from you, Keith, I mumbled to myself, racist, horrible, joke-telling fuck. Well, I said it a little too loud as my professor walked by, heard me... and made me stay after class. He told me in 30
then he
years...
he put his hand around my waist and said...
He told me in 30 years no one has ever heard of Milton and wanted to know why I did. I admitted that it was from a comic and his Jewish girlfriend who do this podcast, and I told him this huge story about your dad giving you the Milton Berle book and everything. Well, he said he thought it was funny, and as I walked out, I heard him say Brumsky.
No way.
Never know who's listening. And professor, fuck you. Jacobs.
Nice. You're getting an A+.
We'll leave you with something. Some time ago, somebody put together a Mad B doing his Milton Berle impression. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Plan 9. That fucking weirdo. That guy's a fucking weirdo. When... Like, that's fucking nuts.
He's a nice guy.
No, he's a good guy. I don't want...
Are you trying to avoid saying something? Is this the person that emails us and goes, when's the show today?
When's the show?
You get so pissed every time an email like that comes.
It's an IM. Ever since we met in California, we're big IM buddies now. When's the show? When's it 9 o'clock? Okay. It's 9:01. There's no show. That's because it's really at 10 o'clock. Ah, you got me. Wait a minute. It's 10:20. I got you again. Ah. I don't think he's gay, though. This isn't your mom and dad's, Duane Reade. New York's most ubiquitous drugstore quietly got sexy 2 weeks ago by stocking erotic toys and passion oils, according to the Crain's New York Business Magazine.
Is there a whole section that you have to go through beads to look at?
People knew this, and it wasn't, it's like, it's in print now, so, you know, some other magazine's going to write about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal? Among the items for sale from the upscale Kama Sutra line of sex aids are feather ticklers, edible honey dust, vibrators, and flavored condoms.
No, that's weird to have it at a local drugstore.
A Kama Sutra executive said selling through Duane Reade was an easy choice and predicted New Yorkers won't blink at seeing pleasure products next to the pharmacy.
Want to bet?
No.
Not all New Yorkers are just...
Rite Aid has all the for their
lube.
Pleasure condoms. Yeah. All different creams, you know,
that's
for
different.
The pussy, for the dick, lube. Rite Aid, by the way, if
that's
I may say.
That's different than a tickler and a vibrator and a butt plug.
I don't think people are going to care.
Something's gonna happen. Mom, what's this for?
Then you got to explain everything. What's that vaginal shit for? What's pregnancy kits for?
It's different. That seems more biological, like. You know, this is what happens to a woman type of thing.
Right.
How do you explain a tickler?
To dust. You know what daddy makes mommy do every week or he beats her? Cleaning the fucking house. Rite Aid has my second, it's not even the second, it's right up there. The lube that they have with Astroglide. I love it.
The Rite Aid brand?
The Rite Aid generic brand.
I swear to God, when I
just
saw
like
that,
Astroglide.
I was like, okay, we're not that poor,
right?
That you need to ruin your penis with bad lube. Like, what made you even reach for the generic lube? Like, what made you experiment? That's like, well, you know what? This costs $3 less. Let me see what this does to my penis.
There was no Astroglide.
Okay.
Nothing else I enjoy. Everything else is too Vaseline-y, too oily, too sticky, dry.
There's another drugstore on the way to our house.
I didn't have the time.
You didn't know.
I also didn't have the time. I'm like, I got jerking to do. Let's try this.
Yeah,
it looks the same.
It. You didn't have the time.
There's nothing. My brain's all fucked up at that moment. I need something. And it's just, I mean, they obviously stole the recipe. And it's perfect. It's perfect. But you're right about trying to save money. Because kind of we'll see, like, weird ways I'll try to cut costs. I got the vodka when Bobby Mitchell came on Monday. And I got Fleischmann's. And I'm filtering it into a Grey Goose bottle that we had left here.
Because you figure, like, two, three right. filters and nobody knows the difference.
Why don't they just pay $3 more and get Bacardi? Like, why is it? How's that practical? I'm done with that fucking filtering machine, by
and
the
why
way.
Is that?
It keeps fucking falling down. I'm real classy. You use this, the Grey Kangaroo vodka filter. You use this, so it had a nice run. I loved it at first, but then it started hitting me like, just pay $3 more, you cheap fuck.
And he has a whole setup on the floor.
It's so you look classy, and it spills. Right, there's towels, it's the contraptions.
All of a sudden
spills.
From downstairs, I hear, Glenda! I'm like, something. Glenda! Holy shit, I start running upstairs. He's got Grey Goose, yeah, right. He's got Fleischmann's all over his hands. He's trying to hold the bottle so that it doesn't spill more. He's like, I'm an idiot. Why don't I just do this, that, and the next? I'm like, okay, everybody calm down. And then we're freaking out. We have vodka everywhere. We just got 3 checks from clown companies. I have to explain to the bank why it smells like vodka.
Can you cash these? Quick. I'll take half the money now. And so you're doing it to be classy, but you just made your whole house smell like vodka. Cheap vodka. Your whole house smells like rubbing alcohol. You're not fooling anybody.
Frizz says, Astroglide is actually very bad for you. Contains glucose or something.
Yeah, Frizz, that's what your mom told you.
Something.
That's what, dude, live. Live. Well, we're talking, every so often, the good Dr. Dan would raid in and, like, you're talking about the Diet Pepsi. You know that has. Oh, who fucking cares? Let me live. American Obese, try to switch your soda to diet. Well, don't switch it to diet. Actually, wine is fucking good for you. Just fucking let us live. God. The doctors have problems, like, everything's fucking bad for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't let me enjoy my ignorance. Real smart key, taking Tylenol with alcohol. Shut up, I don't have a headache.
Apparently you can't cook food anymore because that takes all the things that you... Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're all going to not cook our foods anymore now. It's very practical.
Bob Barker is heading toward the last showcase.
No way.
That sounds like heaven. That guy's ready to die. His final come on down. The silver-haired daytime TV icon is retiring in June. He told the Associated Press on Tuesday, I will be 83 years old on December 12th.
He's doing all right.
Put that guy next to Andy Rooney. I'll be 83 years on December 12th, and I decided to retire while I'm still young. Oh, he's still got it. He'll hang up his microphone after 35 years as the host of The Price is Right.
May I get a little sappy here really
quick?
And
you know Todd Newton is just itching for that job.
Which one's Todd Newton?
The guy that did it in Vegas, the douche. And we all love Bob Barker. Oh, God, Bob Barker's here? No.
He probably knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But let me get sappy for a second
real
quick. My mom loved The Price is Right when she first came here to America.
That's how she learned.
She hardly understood English.
And the bodegas in the stores are trying to fuck with her, and she's like, no, that's $3.15. Fuck you.
She'd be cleaning the house all day, getting things ready for whatever, and the only break she would take is to watch The Price is Right, and now that she's moving to Israel,
right,
it's done. How cool. I got to tell her that.
He'll hang up the microphone after 35 years.
That doesn't even seem like such a long time, though.
He's been on TV 35 years doing a show.
Not a show, working.
He's been on television 50 years. Though he has been considering retirement for at least 10 years, Barker said he has so much fun doing the show able to leave.
How do you consider retirement for 10 years?
He stuck with that gay microphone, that little thin microphone.
He doesn't even need the job. For years and years, he could have retired.
I've gone on and on and on to this ancient age because I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it, and I'm going to miss it. Reaching dual milestones, 50 years on TV and 35 with Price is Right, made this an appropriate time to retire, he said. Besides hosting the daily CBS program in which contestants chosen from the crowd come on down to compete for showcases that include trips, appliances, and new cars, is, quote, demanding physically and mentally. It is at that age.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? You know,
because people are attacking you, and
people
they
are attacking.
Don't understand,
right?
That
he's getting scared.
83.
Yeah, he used to think it was cute, and I was like, "You will break my hip."
Right, and it'd be you.
Right,
it wouldn't be me playing golf that breaks my hips, and that just kills him.
But they tried The Price is Right at night with the new host. They tried it during the day with some soap actor. Nobody cares. You need Bob Barker to do that show. That's what I think.
We'll see, right?
We'll see. We'll see Todd Newton do it. America loves Todd Newton. You guys got to find that Vegas show that we talked about being over there if you haven't heard it. A woman accused of duct taping her two children together, Jacksonville, Florida, and leaving them home alone has been charged with child abuse.
She didn't duct tape them well enough to not be able to call the child abuse center.
Agla Nadia Vincent, 25, was arrested Monday following a seven-month investigation into whether she left her two boys, then aged 2 and 3, taped to each other while she went to work. So she did it every day that she went to work.
Oh, my God. That was their babysitter, duct tape.
For a minimum of 7 months.
My wallet is made of duct tape. Can you imagine if they see that? They would just send shivers up and down their body.
Vincent was a 4-year naval officer at the time and worked at the Jacksonville Naval Air Station. She completed her service and was discharged in August, Naval Base spokesman Rick Cruz said. In March, a witness heard the children crying and called the police. Well, you start with the mouth. Again. Everybody knows that. When military police arrived, they found the children taped in a bedroom with feces and cereal scattered on play mats on the floor. Investigators said,
oh my God.
You have to come back to that house. Lock them in the bathroom.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Lock them in the bathroom and soundproof it. So many things you could do. Leave them dog food. You don't let them shit all over. You're shitting all over your house. You're punishing yourself. So, you know, it's cutting corners.
Are they leaving them naked that they're shitting all over the house?
Maybe. They're duct taped.
No, they can't pull down their pants. So she's like, okay, I know you're not going to be able to pull
saving,
down your pants.
You're saving.
So.
She's doing what she can to save money to not hire a babysitter. She might as well save money to not have to wash clothes again.
Right.
The children were taken into custody by the Florida Department of Children and Families, and Vincent was free pending an investigation. The investigation. What? Were you tied up? Yeah. Okay.
And Chewy Cheesefoot from Toronto says, Hamda, did you take your pill? Yes, I did.
Nice job. An officer who arrested Vincent said she denied leaving the children home alone all day. Vincent was
How's she going to deny it? They walked into a house full of shit and piss with the kids crying.
Not me. No.
Somebody broke in and...
Did they really shit all over?
Get out.
Wow. And they... Wait, they duct taped each other.
I've been having trouble with potty training lately.
Vincent was being held Tuesday on a $5,000 bond in Florida Times
That's
Union.
That's it?
The Florida Times Union reported for Wednesday's editions. It was not clear whether she had an attorney.
Maybe they figure she's so stupid that she can't figure out how to leave and go somewhere. So right. $5,000 is plenty.
Right. Do we have to tape you? I'm just kidding. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. Remember, here, this is a classic article. This is from Good Housekeeping, Housekeeping Monthly.
This one kills me. They posted it up on the forums. And
a lot of people have seen this before.
Yeah, a lot of people have seen it, but it's just insane. This was serious.
May 13th, 1955.
Not
in
that
good
long
old America.
Ago.
Not that long ago, thinking about it. 1955. The Good Wife's Guide.
Around when our parents were born.
This is the Good Wife's Guide. This is a, what do you call it? Not magazine. Right, is it a magazine?
Good Housekeeping?
Yeah.
I think it was a magazine.
What do you call it? Catalog. What do you call FHM and Maxim? What are those?
Magazines.
Magazines. Okay, so this is a magazine. The Good Wife's Guide. Excuse me, I was going to say a magazine for ladies. The Good Wife's Guide. Have dinner ready. Now, I'm not going to interject anything. All this is real. Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even for the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return.
See, this I understood. At the beginning... Because
you had roles in the beginning.
Well, when I first saw this, I was given it by a feminist, and I was like, and I had a few hardcore
feminists love showing this too. This is to them, this is the foie gras of articles,
right? But for a while, I had raging feminists around me, and I so much so that I couldn't watch television without people telling me what this is doing to us.
Right.
And so it seeps into your brain, because I remember saying to my friend at the time, boyfriend at the time or something, is it me or is this anti-fear? He's like, you have been brainwashed and it's too much already. So anyway, so when I started reading this at first, I was like, okay, that was the wife's duty. You know,
right.
The guy has to go out and get a job and figure out how to pay for not only him, but the wife and the kids. So that's your duty. Yes. Think about dinner and make it.
Doing dinner, this is a way of letting him know that you've been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs.
It is.
Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of the warm welcome needed. Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. And then the picture, of course, there's you know, two beautiful children next to the pure, wholesome white family. Who's taking care of these two kids? Duct tape your children down. Take 15 minutes to rest. Touch up your makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair and be fresh looking.
Now, again.
He has just been with a lot of work-weary people.
No, but I understand this. I know it's starting to sound a little weird to people, and people are knowing where this is going, but I understand that. Okay, go ahead.
Be a little gay and a little more interesting for him. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it.
Okay, keep going.
Excuse me, my death voice is catching up with me. Clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives. Gather up school books, toys, paper, etc., and then run a dust cloth and then there's a hole in my paper. Over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift, too. It'll help you, too. It'll make you feel good. That Mormon book that I have, remember we read from that some time ago, and it's like, you know, doing things for your husband and whatever. It's like, and that'll make you feel good too. You don't want to interject with your ideas, and that'll make you feel good. After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with immense personal satisfaction. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they are small.
Don't forget that your husband hates the children by now, so make sure that they are at their quiet time.
Comb their hair and, if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part. Minimize all noise. At the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. Act like cleaning the house is magic. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Be happy to see him. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him. This is where my dad got all his rules. He's from that old time.
But time
he's like,
out.
Say good morning to me. Act like you mean it.
I get it. But the thing is with this is I think this is really nice. I think you always also, if I was working and I came home, you made a thing where like you would be happy to see me. Like you... I don't want to say it, but he would clap when I came in and it felt warm and whatever, you know. I don't think that you should, you know, as soon as somebody comes in, I had quite the day. You right. think your kids are quiet when you come home. Fuck this shit. Right. As soon as you walk through right. the door. Now, since you're the one at home, you're the one with the job of not saying fuck this shit as soon as somebody comes in.
Listen to him. Be Jason, by the way. Prepare yourself. Wash your ass. Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. No, it's not. That's why guys go out drinking right after work. They don't want to hear your fucking yapping.
Right.
Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours.
Okay, and this is when you start going into a weird world.
This is where I'm agreeing.
Okay.
Oh, really? Was fabric softener on sale? Was it? That's amazing. Do you know what a merger is? Probably not. What do you do for a living? I'm a housewife. And that's it? You're going to school for something, right? And Chewy Cheesefoot, now that you have a Roomba, I don't think she has an excuse not to have a fire lit for you. Those were the good old
days.
But
isn't lighting a fire man's work?
Make the evening his. Never complain if he comes home later, goes out to dinner, or other places of entertainment without you.
Other places of entertainment. Who wrote this?
Right. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to be at home and relax. I would like to know back then, was it like, fuck this? Like, were all women like, what the fuck?
No, see, I think all women looked at marriage.
Now, here's what they did. They didn't agree with this back then, but they wanted to look like the good housewife to the next fake housewife. So nobody probably complained. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but don't you see on TV when they advertise for little girls, they do things like dolls that pee themselves, right. dolls that you have to feed
That's
in
true.
Time.
That's true. Even nowadays,
know?
We just saw this. We see that commercial, a baby that shits itself and
right
you got to feed
yeah.
it and everything. Right now, 2006, right after it, Elmo Playtime workbench for kids where they're doing screws and hammers. This world,
for boys.
I have no problem with it. This world still has your role.
Right, but the thing is, well, the little girls do want that thing. They do right. want to nurture. They do want whatever. Right. So the idea, and I felt like this when I was younger also, the idea of, like, taking care of your house and having that home and building things that deal with emotion very much appealed to me, and they still do. But so women didn't know until 5 years later when it's like, I'm still fucking dusting.
Right.
That it's not playtime, pee-pee time with your doll anymore. This is your life. And they realized too late.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't, this thing, it's not a joke. Ha ha. I have to put on a smiley face and look like I mean it.
Your goal, try to make your home the place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. Don't greet him with complaints and problems. Don't complain if he's late home for dinner or even if he stays out all day.
Boy, they're
all
pushing
night,
that point,
right?
aren't they?
Yeah. Okay,
all
right
day, there. All night. Don't even ask him where he was.
This is minor.
Have you heard of mergers? Right. That's where I was till 3 in the morning.
Count this as minor compared to what he might have gone through that day. Make him comfortable. Let him lean back in a comfortable chair or have him lie down in the bedroom.
Get his slippers for him.
Close. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him.
Depending on what he likes that day. You have to guess. You should know him by now.
Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes.
Offer to take off his shoes.
Speak in a low, soothing, and pleasant voice.
Is this one of those words?
My dad wrote this. Yeah. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. No, he's right.
He's God.
Just know he's right. You have no right to question him.
That said that in there. That was the final line, wasn't it?
No, the final line is, a good wife always knows her place.
Oh, my God.
And it's not with duct tape and a dog dish.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days. That's it. Somebody wrote a feedback, but it's stupid.
I know. I saw you reading. I'm like, no, that's not good.
All right.
I should have X'd it out before you saw it, but just as you started reading it.
The point is, you know, why are you up so late? And we're going back to bed.
Yeah. Oh, but before we do, don't forget to check out keithandthegirl.com/contest. We have a whole bunch of nanos with our logo on it. They're very limited edition. I just said a whole bunch, but limited edition. But we do have a few to give out. Some people are saying, you know, I missed the nano because we already gave one away. We do have several of them. So there's a MySpace contest going on. It's very easy to join. keithandthegirl.com/contest. Just follow the rules. Very simple. And you can win a nano. We'll be announcing a winner at any time.
All right. We'll see you guys Thursday. Patrice will not be here. So, you know, if you're around, call in and we'll look for a substitute gossip girl. Talk to you later.
Gentlemen, to start our evening off, we'd like to present our master of ceremonies for the evening, the president of the California Friars Club. Would you welcome Milton Berle? Milton Berle.
Oh, I got the whole thing on xylophones. I got to fill up this X chapter. It's ridiculous. I got Xerox, X-rated, X-rays. What else we got? Oh, that's it. We got Yankees after that. Can I bookmark the X's? Oh, definitely. X-rated is on this page. It's probably got some gems. Oh, we got a. Wait a second. Wait. We got high school band class? All right, I got this. My dick! Oh! What's your favorite instrument? My dick? Oh, okay. Two dinosaurs passed the xylophone. One said to the other, she's cute, but she's all skin and bones. Oh! That was the other day. A nearsighted dentist passed the xylophone and said, your folks ought to bring you in for braces. Oh! That's it. How about some X-rated pictures? One porno star was asked to do a sex scene with three men. She quit. Artistic differences. Wasn't the men. She was all about the dick. Men in X-rated films work without clothes. They must be told to take them off. No one could be forgetful enough to leave home without them. One X-rated picture had to be delayed because of an occupational hazard. A draft. I don't even understand that. When did I write these? A drunk wandered into a studio where an X-rated film was being shot. He turned to some of the male stars who were standing around and said, what are you going to do in the army? What are you going to do if the army doesn't take you? I guess porno and the army were pretty close.
That's the end?
Yes.
Do it again.
A drunk wandered into a studio where an X-rated film was being shot. He turned to some of the male stars who were standing around and said, what are you going to do if the army doesn't take you? Yeah, I guess the X-rated film was about a bunch of friggin' Moes. Hey, my dick. You know, it's an X-rated film. Instead of saying cut, the director says, throw water on him. Oh, my dick. You know, because you throw water on people in the 1920s to stop them from having sex, like rabbits. KeithAndTheGirl.com.